This is Chase March. We're at the Blue Moon for the Cale Sampson show today, and we're lucky enough to be able to sit down with him before the show. How you doing, Cale?
Doing fantastic. Really excited for this show. People are starting to roll through right now. Yeah, I'm super stoked. I think we're going to have a sold-out show tonight. I plan on really giving her during the live performance and hopefully just giving back to all my friends and fans who have been supporting me this past year. Really want to give them a great show, you know, and just touch them in their hearts, make them feel special to me.
You just put out an album recently. It's really interesting because there's two discs in it, and there's a Cale Sampson the album and Cale Sampson the demo. Tell us how this came about.
Yeah, sure. Well, for people who haven't heard of me, my name's Cale Sampson. I've been rhyming for well over 10 years. I first started rhyming, believe it or not, when I was 9 years old. I just haven't really stopped since then. It's been a passion, and it's slowly just become who I am and a massive part of my life. And so I've been making tunes for well over a decade and never really released a solo album. I have released albums with my group, Rhythmic Crew, but a solo album was something that I always wanted to do. So over the past 10 years, you know, I've been recording songs, building up to this release. And over the past 10 years, for the first 5 years, I guess there's two discs. One is the demo, one is the album. And the demo is basically, they represent two different time periods of my life and my career. The demo is sort of me during my developing stage. I'm a little bit more raw, more hip-hop focused. My voice is a little bit more squeaky, but you know, it's still like me developing. The album is me sort of where I'm at right now, more storytelling, more personal. And given the fact that this was my first solo release and I've been involved for so long and experienced so much, I just felt that it was only fitting to include them both, because I feel that it's like looking at a painting, you know what I mean? You can't really see the whole picture until you see both sides, you know, and it just seemed fitting to release all of my material, all my best material, you know, to tell my whole story. And I think that once people listen to both albums, they really understand where I'm at right now, whereas if I just gave them one or the other, it wouldn't quite tell the whole story and, as I was referring to before, show the complete picture.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, because, I mean, most demos will get leaked further along the line. It's like when Cale's huge, everyone's like, oh, did you hear his demo? And then that'll be like a point of like some people will brag over it. Oh, I heard his demo a long time ago, Ed. So now like everyone's getting the demo, like right now.
I know, it's dope, you know what I mean? And a lot of the songs on the demo people have maybe heard. They were like on smaller releases, but mostly they were just tracks that I did live that were people's favorites, you know, and I felt that I wanted to include those because a lot of people's favorite tracks come off of the demo. In fact, a lot of people, even when they listen to the album right now, still say that they can't tell which one is their favorite. They like them equally as much, and some people even do like the demo better than the album, which I can respect too.
So it's been a long time coming for the Cale Sampson solo stuff. But you have been with Rhythmic Crew for about 7 years now, is that correct?
Yeah, I guess it has been about 7 years. We first started in about 2002, 2003. And, you know, those were guys that I grew up with in my neighborhood. And we were all sort of solo artists. We were all trying to, you know, just pool our talents together to try to make something bigger than the sum of our parts. And that's what we did. You know, and for the last 5 years, you know, we were releasing a steady stream of albums together as a crew. You know, we started our own record label and did a lot of stuff. Had a lot of great experiences. We went on the Vans Warped Tour, opened up for a lot of different acts that we respect. And I guess like one of our highlights was going to Taiwan and you know, doing a two-week tour out there, which was just a dream come true for me and for all the guys too. You know, because we were like brothers and friends, and to be sharing our mutual goals of, you know, going across to the other side of the world in a place of the earth where nobody really speaks English, and being on the side of the stage rocking shows for thousands of people was literally almost unbelievable. I had to punch myself, you know, but it was great, you know. It's cool.
That's pretty amazing. So I understand that on one of the Rhythmic Crew albums you had a solo joint, Facts of War,
right?
And that track was apparently pretty huge. I saw that there was some write-ups on it about how people were like really interested in your subject matter and how it was a really gritty anti-war type song?
Yeah, I mean, that song was basically the song that got Rhythmic Crew and myself known. I think that was a statement song that people took notice of. And a lot of people don't realize this is one of the songs that's on the demo disc that we were talking about. The Facts of War, I actually wrote that very shortly after 9/11, very shortly after. And believe it or not, when I was writing this song, I was originally going to write a song, you know, dissing the terrorists and whatnot. And then I realized if I was going to do a political song, because not all my songs are political, but if I was, I wanted to make sure I got my facts straight. So I went on the internet, and when I went on the internet, there was nothing about George. This was pre-anti-George Bush. Nobody had any knowledge, including me. Of the only person who was writing anything that was sort of behind the curtain was Noam Chomsky. So basically, the Facts of War, I just researched Chomsky and a couple of other guys who were on the internet. And the more I started to research 9/11, the more I started to realize, you know what, maybe I don't really want to talk about the terrorists here. Maybe I want to talk about like what's going on in the government, in the U.S. government right now. And that's sort of where my research led me. And the Facts of War is basically a culmination of all that research. And I don't know if you guys have heard it. It's not an anti-American track. It's more just an anti-U.S. government with George Bush at that time, which is kind of funny. It was a risky move when I first put it out. Even guys in my crew were like, I don't think we should do this. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. But we did it, and that, you know, it made an impact, and it got ourselves known, and it touched a lot of people. Professors were using it in universities. Kids were doing projects about it in high school. It seemed to hit a market that was way beyond just hip-hop people, you know?
Wow. Yeah, and so that's on your demo, but the first track of your album, you actually mentioned George Bush, and so you're still kind of on that same topic.
Yeah, I guess, you know, like, well, I mean, I don't know, I was pretty, in my opinion, I was probably the first or one of the first people to take a chance and diss George Bush, which seems kind of funny now because, you know, there's thousands of anti-George Bush tracks out there, but at that time, that's... I felt that I was, you know, going against the norm by taking that chance. And I felt that I backed it all up with facts and information, because the way I wrote that song was basically the way a student would write an essay. You know what I mean? An introduction, all my points, and then a conclusion at the end. So I approached that song as if I was a student at university handing in a paper. And, yeah, I mean, you know, occasionally I guess I'll still reference him. I think I'm done with that now. I think we all are. We're on to bigger and better things now in the world. So there's no reason to really, you know, focus on negativity like that anymore.
Definitely. And there's a lot of positive, you know, positive lyrics in your album and in your demo. So I think we should let the listeners hear something right now. So do you have a favorite track you'd like to spin right now?
Well, maybe if we don't listen to Facts of War... I mean, my story is, you know, I feel like I'm a bit of an underdog, you know, I feel like in a lot of ways because of all the things that that I've done, I've just stuck with it for so long, and now I'm starting to I wouldn't say reap the rewards, but I'm feeling the love back to me now, and a lot of opportunities have came my way, and I just feel blessed. I feel like all the hard work has paid off, so I think that, like, you know, my story is one of just sticking with your dream and sticking with your passion, even against all odds, and, you know, just believing in yourself and going for it. Even when things look down, you stick with it, and they eventually come back up. So I think a good song to go off of that spirit, and like how you said, positivity, is probably a song called Potential.
Nice. I really like that track. All right. So we're going to throw to that right now. Daddy J's going to spin that. He's manning the boards. This is Chase March on the interview tip. And we'll be back with more Kale Sampson right after this.
Hey yo, you ever feel like you have a gift? A special talent you're passionate about, which no one can take from you? And all you ever want is a chance to use it to the fullest. But for whatever reason, it hasn't happened. This is getting serious, man. I'm desperate and broke, overworking myself. I need to rest, but I don't. In the future of my life and rap profession's a joke. The size of my wallet's got me questioning both. Like never before, I'm second guessing my hunch. Thought I could rap with the best of them, now I'm stressing a bunch. Putting holes in the wall with this left-handed punch. I can't even take my girl out to breakfast or lunch. Too many bills to pay, my checks ain't enough. Everything's being sucked as the debt piles up. Now I'm thinking of stuff that might get me in cuffs. Starting to not give a gee, I'm set to erupt. Pray to God I won't be singing these songs to myself. How the hell will I ever buy my mom's a house? This is real life, this is a call for help. I'm doing all I can't do it all by myself. I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. Yes, I will fulfill my potential. Watch, I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. Yes, I will fulfill my potential. Watch, I will fulfill my potential. Giving up so much for my few moments of glory, but they're what I look forward to, man. I'm not sorry, so surely y'all understand it ain't personal. The love that I receive, I feel that I do deserve it. Yo, we all have a dream, I'm trying to live mine. I've given time to it every day since I've been 9. And I've had several visions I saw in the past actually come true since I started to rap. That go way beyond the music into others' lives as you hit them in the heart and stimulate their minds. So when this starts to happen, you realize there ain't nothing that compares to how you feel now inside. I've devoted my life to hold than the mic, cause I know that it might just help me grow to new heights. I've been told all my life I'm a soldier who fights. Now the flow's so tight, all of my goals are in sight. I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. Yes, I will fulfill my potential. Watch, I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. Yes, I will fulfill my potential. Watch, I will fulfill my potential. Sometimes I feel unstoppable, so motivated, amped up. Nothing can ever get in the way of it. I'm digging so deep inside to find fuel. When I get in touch with it, my rhymes defy rules. I'm feeling it, foreseeing what I can be. Like there's 1,000 friends all screaming inside of me and pushing me so Kale never falls behind. I have the strength of 100 men all combined. Gotta make time to do what I know best. Sit at this desk, let ideas process and watch them unravel as the writing extends. It's natural, thoughts come to life through my pen. Animation when I'm holding the pencil. Kale's rhymes always control the instrumental. The beat rides me, ain't no filler to killer. Cause baby I just keep on getting iller and iller. I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. Yes, I will fulfill my potential. Watch, I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. I will fulfill my potential. Yes, I will fulfill my potential. Watch, I will fulfill my potential.
Okay, that was Potential from the new Kale Sampson album. That was the demo disc, 2-disc set. Really nice track.
Thanks very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Dope FM's a solid radio show that's been around for a long time. I got much love for you guys. Really happy to be on the air with you guys talking.
Yeah, I like a lot of the lyrics in that song. It's kind of like, you know, poor man rap, relating it to some sweatshop union there. But you're actually saying how... in one part you say, this is a call for help, you know, this is real life, I can't do it all by myself. And then you start addressing the listeners, so I'm wondering if that was about you needing listeners or you needing support, like from like the whole business thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think both of what you're talking about, I mean, it's the struggle, right? And I remember when I wrote that first verse of Potential, I remember the exact spot I was, and it just all came to me within, I basically freestyled it, but it came right from my heart. And I remember at that time, you know, just loving it and feeling like I was at my peak, you know, lyrically, but just, I don't know, being broke. And I remember like walking up to the bank to take out my last 20 bucks and not even knowing what I was gonna do next. And like, I just really desperate, wanted to just fulfill my dream of doing MCing, and you know, and then, but as the song goes on, you know, it starts off desperation, but it builds up into courage and just, you know, like I said, just sticking with it and over time finding your strength and, you know, and at the end of it, you know, like, you know, it's basically the struggle leading to the glory, you know, and nothing in life comes easy, as we all know. And, you know, basically, like how I said, I just continue. I've been rhyming since I was 9 years old, and since I was a little kid, it's always been a part of my life, gone through ups and downs. I think most MCs feel that struggle. It's a beautiful struggle. But, you know, in the end, when you experience the glory, it's all worth it, you know?
Definitely. I want to talk a little bit about the writing process, because you have a really nice lyric in that song, once again, that says, Kale's rhymes always control the instrumental, the beat rides me. Now, most people say the other way around, that the beat tells them what to say and that they ride the beat. But you're flipping it and saying the beat rides me.
I mean, I've always put a lot of focus on the lyrical side of things. You know, I felt that was one way to make myself stand out, was to try to find subject matter that other rappers never really touched upon, try to develop different styles that people just had never explored before, and just try to be original, you know what I mean? Try to do something different, try to contribute something unique to hip-hop and to my style, you know? And, you know, I actually have written about 80% of my songs without a beat. A lot of the lyrics just sort of come to me into my head when I'm walking or when I'm traveling or whatever. And a lot of the time I don't have a beat, but what I will have is a napkin or a piece of paper around. And you know, so in a way, I mean, the beat, I just wait until I find that right beat, and sometimes it takes a long time, but I keep all these lyrics and all these songs, and you know, I just, basically the lyrics come before the beat does in most cases in my situation, which is a little bit different than a lot of the way that people work.
Yeah, I heard Shad writes the same way.
And oh, really?
You've actually collaborated with Shad, I think.
Yeah, we've done a couple of joints together. Also with the Rhythmic Crew, did a track off of Super Toke 2 called This Is the Underground. We did some stuff with Shad, and when Shad was first getting into Toronto, you know, we did a lot of shows with him, went out to London and did some shows with him too. Great dude, amazing skills. I wish him all the best. It's great to see him killing it and building his career too. And you know, I think it's good for hip-hop in general to hear Shad's voice out there.
Definitely, he's really taken off. And the Canadian scene seems to be growing right now and getting some international success. It's interesting to see, because you actually have some producers on here. You got Chemo producing something on here from the Rascals. You got Classified producing a track.
And we got D-Ray as well.
Yeah,
and D-Ray, my man from the Crew.
So it's a Canadian production there.
We got my man Merciless too. He's also one of my producers as well.
Yeah, speaking about the rhyming process, how you're saying how you write a lot of stuff just wherever you are, write it down on a napkin. And before you said that you kind of freestyled potential. Don't you think some of the best writing actually does come spur of the moment like that?
I think a lot of the time, I mean, what I try to do is, when I write a song, I try to make every single song unique, something distinct, and also kind of diverse. And I think if anybody listens to the album, they'll realize, or they'll feel a wide range of not just subject matter, but emotion too. You know, there's happy songs, there's angry songs, there's positive songs, political songs. And, you know, I've got songs that, you know, like may not appeal to a hip-hop head, but then I got songs like 94 to 96 that only a hip-hop head could fully understand as well. So, I mean, I think as long as you write from a real, genuine, emotional state, whatever it may be, then, yeah, you know what I mean? You may not need the beat. You know, when you're feeling something for real and you're able to get it out somehow, which is a lot of the time how I write, it hits. It hits hard, and that's the songs that I think most people feel.
It's interesting because you do have that versatility there. I mean, you've got some political songs. You've got some jiggy songs that, quite frankly, I kind of want to skip.
Yeah.
Like you just said, like some heads might not be feeling it. Do you not feel an obligation to maybe make an underground album and like label yourself that way? Because I know at Dope FM we play mostly underground. Like that's kind of our mantra.
Well, I mean, I think anybody, I mean, I came from the underground. I've grown up in the underground and I still am in the underground. And, you know, I think that my album is an underground album for sure. And there might be a couple tracks on there that are a little bit less underground, you know, and I did that in a way on purpose because I wanted to set up some of my songs, like, for instance, the Human Genome Project. Before that, there's a song called Distractions, which is, in a way, they're kind of polar opposites, But what I was thinking is I'm not trying to make an album solely for underground hip-hop heads. You know, I want everybody to be able to listen to this. And, you know, sometimes those songs that may not be the underground hip-hop heads' favorites serve a purpose because it gets somebody who wouldn't normally be listening to my music listening, and then the next song that comes on after that will be the most underground hip-hop song, which I want them to hear. So that's the purpose for some of those songs. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm an underground hip-hop artist. You know, I do all my own stuff. I'm my own businessman. College Radio has, you know, been very friendly to me. You know, it peaked at number 3 in Canada. So, I mean, I think that that's representative of where I'm at, you know. And I'm happy, like, if a mainstream radio station will play my song or if Much Music picks it up, because all it is bringing the underground to a wider audience, you know.
Yeah, that's a nice philosophy to have. And that Distraction song is actually kind of cool in the way that you're kind of making fun, I guess, of pop culture and you know, just the consumerism culture that we have and how there really isn't privacy. And like you said, how those two songs kind of work together, because the Genome Project kind of has that same kind of theme, whereas like if we're manipulating genes and stuff like that, then where's the privacy there, because people can see where that goes. So they almost do kind of blend together like
that. Exactly. And that was my purpose. That was a very strategic move to stick that song in front of the other one to try to set up the common listener so that they could hear that song, because I think that that song's one of my best songs and definitely one of the most politically relevant tracks, but it's also maybe not the easiest track to listen to if you've never heard me before. So I think that's the first song sets up the other one, and it was done on purpose.
We're going to play this track, and I want to touch on a few of the lyrics once we're done. So this is Never Had a Choice by Cale Sampson, Chase March on the interview tip, Daddy J's Man in the Boards. Let's spin that track, and we'll be back.
They used to say I shouldn't, I'm telling them I should. They told themselves I couldn't, I proved to them I could. They'll never understand, so let's make it understood.
This is in my blood.
Took some time off, went back to the place of my birth. For a minute disappeared from the face of the earth. Had to get back in touch, thought my rapping sucked compared to the first days when my passion struck. Since open canvas, I was stroking canvases, but everything looked sorta hopeless and damaged. Couldn't understand it, I'm my toughest critic. I expect nothing but the best, there was nothing in it. No message, preoccupied with flow. Whatever happened to that storytelling style that you know or you don't, whatever. Now I don't give a what. Almost said the F word, but I don't need to cuss. And I don't need the women or the fans who don't listen. I was never about being the man when I was beginning. Made me feel better just by writing things down. I thought I could help others if I spread it around. And what a better way to spread it than through sound. It works, I watched as it started to compound and compound. Across cities to towns until it almost compounded me into the ground, man. I tried but I think I let it get to my head. Just a little bit, nowhere close to 50 Cent. Remember, it only takes one stupid move to erase everything else good that you do. They used to say I shouldn't, I'm telling them I should. They told themselves I couldn't, I proved to them I could. They'll never understand, so let's make it understood.
This is in my blood.
I never had a choice. They used to say I shouldn't, I'm telling them I should. They told themselves I couldn't, I proved to them I could. They'll never understand, so let's make it understood.
This is in my blood.
I never had a choice. Some of my family fell in hard times. No choice for me but to reprioritize. Had to save up, gave away like almost 10 G's. And that's a lot when you make 4 bills a week. Financially responsible for more than myself. Praying for a day I could reward myself and put some energy back towards myself. Stressed out, I just kept on ignoring my health. And time for music had been reduced to zero. Lots of people realized that I ain't a superhero. Never gave up, although almost every day sucked. I kept hope alive that I would find a way up. Could've made a million off the facts of war, with major label support promoting it to the world. realized you need to get your business in order. Companies in Canada won't even invest a quarter. And there's a lot more to success than just skills. Costs more than you think, let's look at the bills. Equipment, studio time, mixing and mastering, photography, website, promotion, packaging. How could I be rapping when this other stuff was happening? I couldn't fall asleep even after three aspirins. Like all of a sudden, everybody doubts you. Fans stop believing in you and forget about you. But I'm not done, ain't time for me to pack it in. The fact that I've been through so much is no accident. Just stay with me, that's all I ask of friends. I won't disappoint you no more, cause now I'm back again. They used to say I shouldn't, I'm telling them I should. They told themselves I couldn't, I proved to them I could. They'll never understand, so let's make it understood.
This is in my blood.
I never had a choice. They used to say I shouldn't, I'm telling them I should. They told themselves I couldn't, I proved to them I could. They'll never understand, so let's make it understood.
This is in my blood.
I never had a choice.
Okay, that was Never Had a Choice by Cale Sampson. And I'm lucky enough to actually be sitting here with Cale Sampson at the venue. He's going to be going on Rocking the House in a few minutes. But we get a chance to talk down before. Sit down and talk before that. So, nice song, man.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
I like the lyrics in there. You point out that you're your toughest critic. I expect nothing but the best.
Yeah, I mean, I've always held, like I said before, you know, I've always held myself to a higher category of within myself. You know, I mean, you know, I am my own toughest critic because I expect so much out of myself. I want my songs to be the best that I'm capable of. And, you know, there was, when I was writing that song, there was a little time period where, you know, I don't know, I felt like maybe I was losing touch a little bit. And, I don't know, I just, nothing special was coming to me, like quite how I was used to it. So, I mean, it was this song when I started writing this that kind of got me out of that slump. And I guess some of us go through that or not, but, you know, there was just a weird little time period where I felt like, I don't know, I think maybe I was paying too much attention to flow. People were telling me, try to ride the beat, do this, this, and that. It kind of got to my head, and I sort of went away from my normal style, which is, you know, telling stories and, you know, just trying to raise the bar lyrically. And, you know, I started listening to some of that material, and I was like, eh. You know, and then I started writing Never Had a Choice and talked my way out of that and kind of got myself back on track. So that's what that line was about.
Very nice. And the other line I like that's really cool is, you almost swear. You say, I almost say the F word, but I don't need to cuss.
It's true, man. I don't know, but I've just made it a point ever since day one. I always just decided, you know what, I'm never going to bother swearing in any of my tracks. And that was for a couple reasons. Number one, I don't really swear in real life. So why would I get on a track and start cussing all over the place? Doesn't really make sense. Number two is, you know, like I said before, you know, I want everybody I want as many people to be able to hear this music as possible. You know, and unfortunately the reality is that, you know, you could be talking the best stuff in the world. You know, you could be making a lot of sense, making great points, killing it on the mic. But the second some people hear a swear word, they just dismiss you. You know what I mean? And all that other content is no longer relevant. You know, so I don't know. You know, that's just been my approach, and I find it's more challenging when you feel like you are going to swear to just stop and try to think of another word or another way to say the exact same thing without actually swearing.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, because so many people I run into on an everyday basis just think rap is ignorant, right? And they're swearing, they're just talking about garbage, and you hear that so much. And then you could say, yeah, but there's rap that doesn't swear. And then you end up pointing to like Christian rap or something, and people don't necessarily want to hear that either. So it's nice that you could kind of, you know, rock that fence and still have like dope hip hop without the curse words.
Yeah, exactly, man. I don't even think that most people don't even realize that I don't swear, you know, because it's just, I'm just expressing the exact same thing. It's just, I'm just not really saying it. So, I mean, you know what I mean? That's just my style. It seems to work for me. And, you know, I think the music that I'm making appeals to, you know, people anywhere from 15 to 45 or whatever, you know. And I think a little bit of that extraness is the fact that, you know, I just don't really, I don't know. I don't swear. I don't feel a need to do it.
Nice. Kind of reminds me of the old Tribe Called Quest records, because The later stuff, there's a couple swear words that leak in there, and Fife Dog Solo kind of leaks. Fife Dog Solo surprised me because he swore so much.
He was waiting to get it all out. He's like, now the Q-tip's not around, man, I can go nuts on my own record.
Yeah, but I like how you have the line in there that, like, Tribe should have stayed together, you know, because Tribe Called Quest are amazing, like, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough actually to see them together last year at Rock the Bells, which was not a very good show, but I mean, at least we got to see Tribe and we got to see De La and everybody. So that was dope to see them together one last time, for sure.
Yeah, I got to see them years ago at Canada's Wonderland. Busta Rhymes was on the gig in Cypress Hill and TLC, I think.
I heard about that show. I heard Busta Rhymes was like climbing up to the top of the podium or whatever.
He was
in
crazy.
A yellow suit.
Because he did his set, and he came out on everybody else's set for like the entire night.
Busta Rhymes is like, he collaborates with everybody, man. I think he's done more collaborations with a wider range of MCs than possibly any other MC that I could possibly think of. Think of any rapper. Chances are Busta's done a collaboration with him.
Probably, yeah.
That doesn't surprise me that he was out on everybody's set.
Right. One thing I like to talk about in interviews is influences, but if you listen to your album, I think you hear them, especially because you got a song 1994 to 96.
Right.
And you just run through tons and tons of album titles and references to albums and things like that. So I'm assuming those are big like parts of your record collection and influences on your style.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that period, 1994 to 96. And I mean, I lay out the whole song. It's a 3-minute song where I just, no chorus, where I just, you know, basically tell a story using references from all my favorite records and artists and songs from those 3 years. All in sequential order too. The first verse is 94, the second is 95, 96. And if you listen to that song, you'll realize, wow, oh my God, were all those songs and all those artists really within that time period? And definitely that was a time period when I was really focused on hip hop that just, you know, made me step it up as an MC and really made me want to go forward, because I was just feeling it so much, you know. A really great period of hip hop, definitely a massive influence on me as a person, and definitely as an MC for sure.
Yeah, I think 1994 holds a special place in a lot of hip hoppers' heads. And I mean, I've seen like an album like I Wish It Was 1994 or something like that. You know,
Nas, Illmatic, you know, Biggie's album, Smith and Wesson, J. Rue the Damager dropped, Gangstar had their album Code of the Streets that year. It goes on and on and on. You know, check out the song 94 to 96. And 94, all the ones I just mentioned, that was just from that period. And there's like another 20 of them too that came out that year as well.
Maybe we should drop that one just because it's kind of interesting to see if you can catch all the references.
Let's do it. It would be fitting right now considering we're talking about that. All right, guys, check this out. Going off of our previous conversation, pay attention to the references here. Much respect. We're going to get into the next track, called 1994 to 96. Yo, I remember when I was just a little kid growing up listening to hip hop back in like 94, 1995, 96. These were the tunes that influenced me and that I was feeling. Let me take a trip down memory lane to 1994. Went to Cal, rang the pain when all I needed was common sense and one more chance to represent, represent. Cause whose world was this? The world was mine. The most beautifulest things in this world to me were rhymes intertwined over premier beats that have mass appeal, teaching the code of the streets. Questions remain. Black Moon asked this: how many MCs must get this? Or they get it together and communicate ill. Short shot, Smith and Wesson, straight bullets that kill. Confused, unorganized. Just to let you know that was a metaphor for a freaky, freaky, freaky flow. Like the one resurrected from I used to love for a hip-hop classic matched by few others. Do you want more? I shall proceed to spark madism on the mic casually, cause that's how it was and that's how it is. In 1994, I was still a young kid, tiptoeing on the wrong side of the tracks. Between a rock and a hard place, I found artifacts. They asked me to come on, get down with the get down, and give y'all a sample of how that year's hit sound. So much juicy, living in my ear.
From OC to Beat Nuts, an unbelievable year. Although some grave diggers attempted suicide, 9-5 showed the vibe wasn't yet ready to die. AC alone had the Earth's greatest show. Still wanna be MCs? Act like they don't know. The survival of the fittest, man. Rappers are in danger when the East is in the house. Oh my God, danger. Straight from Brooklyn, Brooklyn Zoo to the dirt at South. Come get some soul food. Damn. We could go coast to coast with alcoholics. I'd like to propose a toast to the hip hip, the hop. You don't stop, don't stop. DOS Effects brought the real hip hop, hop. Holding it down as the Far Side. Lab cap in California, genius shadow boxed in a cold world. Up against the wall, I tried to be living proof on how to not fall. The pain I felt, used to drink it away. Then I recognized I can't keep running away. Cause music made me high.
How high?
So high that I could see what my soul looked like. From funky doobies that would make me trip. The next thing I knew, it was 1996. Once again, my life is all about beats and rhymes. Innovative albums symbolize changing times. DJ Shadow and the Automator played instrumental roles and provided new flavor. Bear witness to Dr. Octagon, kept it real raw. Blue Flowers was the song. Along their quest, Tribe felt stressed out, and Arcanelli told the ladies to put it in your mouth. Ready or not, here I come, woo-ha! Respect to all the true honey buns, not playing themselves, only out for the papes with no de la soul. But y'all know the stakes. I'm the C to the A, the L to the E, and can't no other MC cook these delicacies. Just me and you, your mama and your cousin, to a bunch of outcasts, man. It must be in the roots. R-double-O-T-S, check the flow. Pushed up your lighters when they came for a show in your area, throughout your section. For 3 years, wait till they hear about the next ones. Whatever, man, this is only the beginning. Moving at the speed of life, my foundation I'm exhibiting. Cause this is what I think when I sit and reminisce of my inspirations from 94 to 96.
Okay, we're back. That was 1994 to 96 by Cale Sampson. This is Chase March on the interview tip, and Daddy J's is Man in the Boards as usual. How you doing, Cale?
Yeah, tonight is the video premiere of the first video that I've done off this album, and it's a track called Never Had a Choice, which I think you guys heard earlier. So we're going to be displaying that tonight. It's going to be good. I'm really proud of this one, man. It's done in black and white. I think it's very, very different, but it's cool. It looks great. It's just very me. It's nice to be able to do a video that is a visual representation of who you are as an artist, and to feel very proud of it. So I'm very proud of this one, and we're going to premiere it tonight. I think people are going to enjoy it, and we're going to get into the set. And I'm going to pitch this thing to Much Music, and hopefully Much Music takes it, and hopefully it picks up. And I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, I hope they spin it, because I first saw your video, Rhythmic Crew, We Have Come for Your Children. And that was my first exposure to you as an artist, until Daddy J hit me and said, you got to check out this disc, and we got to interview this guy, man.
See, that's the thing, is once you can get on Much Music, once you can get on television and have your video played, it's like, I've been around for 10 years, but as soon as that happens, your audience becomes national, mm-hmm. And everybody, you can get fans that come that never heard of you, you know what I mean? And the video is a huge deal. The video is a huge thing. And so that's why I'm hoping that this video goes through too.
Till I Met You, interesting track there. Is any of that autobiographical? Like, is that relationship drama stuff you've gone through, or is that just a typical kind of story rhyme?
Truth be told, that song is it was produced by my man Merciless again, who's my man, a great producer, great guy to work with, and a good dude in general. Till I Met You. The lyrics in that song are kind of like a hybrid of all sorts of different experiences that I've had over the years or whatever, all meshed up into one song to make it sound like a real-life story, But I think it's a good song because people can relate to it, male and female. Females love that track, and dudes can relate to it, too. It's like our number one song on iTunes right now, and I'm going to actually perform that tonight for the first time as well, so I'm excited to do that as well, just because people are feeling it. So.
Yeah, I like in that track because, we're passionate about hip-hop at Dope FM, obviously, but one of my past girls, didn't share that passion whatsoever, and that was always a bone of contention. Every time I tried to do something hip-hop related, she was like, you know, like on me about it, right?
It's pretty impossible when you're this deep into hip hop to have a girlfriend who's not into it. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, that's the big test, you know what I mean? If she's not feeling my lyrics, or if she's just like, oh yeah, that's good, whatever, when I play her a song, she's not gonna be my girlfriend. My girlfriend, if somebody's gonna be my girlfriend, she's gonna be into it, man, for real. So, I mean, like, you're not still with her, are you?
No, because some people would actually say hip hop is like their first love kind of thing, too, you know?
Hey, man, if you are living hip hop, which we are, you know what I mean? If a girl isn't feeling that, then she's not feeling you. So, I mean, I'm not feeling her either, you know what I mean? You gotta find a girl who can respect that passion, respect that drive, and understand it, and be by your side, and find inspiration through her man who's doing that, you know? And when that happens, then the culmination of it working together with this lady is special, you know? And, you know, sometimes you gotta filter through a lot, especially in hip-hop too, because a lot of girls are attracted to you, and they're not necessarily attracted to you for the right reasons, just because you're on stage or whatever and you look cool. But at the end of the day, it's not about that. It's about what you're doing behind the scenes, all the hard work that you're putting into that passion. They gotta be there for you, feeling that. You know what I mean? And there by your side and rising to the occasion.
All right. Yeah, definitely. It's like, because hip-hop is a way of life. A lot of people don't understand that. Like, hip-hop is a culture. It's not just the music.
So, absolutely.
Definitely. So, great, man. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for this opportunity. Let us interview you. But I think we should play one more track, and then we'll call it a night. And look forward to seeing your show in a few minutes, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. Big up Dope FM. Big up McMaster. All you guys in Hamilton. My name's Kale Sampson. Check it out. Really appreciate you guys' support. And yeah, much love.
Physical traits are influenced by genetics that make us vulnerable to disease like diabetics or multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's and cancer. Apparently this project will provide these answers. A molecular blueprint of Homo sapiens that will remodel the world with its information. I wonder how this data will be interpreted and who really has control over dispersing it. In case you haven't known, it's the human genome. 23 chromosomes capable of being cloned. 30,000 genes encoded by DNA sequenced along 3 billion bases atomically. Government departments of energy and health helped research expand by providing the wealth to form a worldwide scientific collaboration against secrets of life and all mystification. It's essential the public becomes aware. Revolutionary changes will occur everywhere. Time to choose what is or not ethical. The Human Genome Project's got me skeptical. In 1953, Francis Crick and James Watson discovered the double helix in deoxyribonucleic acidics with thoughts that were completely anti-religious. They wanted to prove that there was no God, that ideas of vitalism should be viewed in disregard, cause anything divine was now impossible and primarily explained as being biological. Intelligence levels plus aggressive behavior, biasly defined by those the results favored. Inequalities grew as power maintained for dominant social systems who manipulate our brains to believe what they're saying is the actual truth. Just because an expert claims there's factual proof, that's how morality can become distorted, when a few people decide for the world what is important. It's essential the public becomes aware. Revolutionary changes will occur everywhere. Time to choose what is or not ethical. The Human Genome Project's got me skeptical. Corporations like Celera Genomics privately sell info to make profits to pharmaceutical firms in search of products that'll improve business and company economics. Testing on non-human organisms, lab mice and fruit flies for polymorphisms. As biotechnology invents new creatures, mutated animals with deformative features, functioning organs are growing inside them and transplanted to people on the verge of dying. Through nuclear shifting of somatic matter, cloning a sheep named Dolly was successfully mastered. Possibilities injuries cause implications like embryo prenatal manipulation, so parents can make their ideal child a therapeutically enhanced altered profile. But who will gain access to our personal records? Maybe job employers or insurance inspectors, blatantly invading all rights to privacy, subjectively forming a cultural hierarchy entirely based on eugenic foundations, past histories of inhumane discriminations like Nazi racism, attempted termination of populations through genocide elimination. It's essential the public becomes aware revolutionary changes will occur everywhere. Time to choose what is or not ethical. The Human Genome Project's got me skeptical.
What's up, y'all? This is K.O. Sampson. You're listening to Dope Fap Sam right here.
I put a lot of focus on the lyrical side of writing songs, and I think, like, in a nutshell, like, anybody who's my friend or who's supported me and seen me perform, like, on multiple occasions throughout the years, I think they know that the time has come for a K.O. Sampson solo album.
I rap full speed ahead, bro. My brain races faster than a Corvette goes. Usually I do impress folks when I go off like alarms that detect smoke. Listen to Kale, he's got one of the best flows. Rhymes with the same thing, whatever he says, yo. Spitting lines, you have to respect, so I get love, but I still have to expect foes. Listen up, this is kinda grotesque, yo. Wish we could sentence Bush to death row. Give him the chair, fry him with some electrodes till he looks like he's about to just explode. Can't believe people re-elect those presidents who won before with incorrect votes. Now we need new leaders to spread hope. We all knew soon we'd be seeing a dead pope. Seriously, hope you can get jokes. I speak my mind and sometimes it upsets folks. This is something I have to confess though. I used to swear so much as a kid I was fed soap. Don't have a perfect nose, cause I caught one too many direct blows. Looks like the exorcist when my head goes around in a circle like some kind of possessed ghost. Soon as their chests grow, girls wear less clothes. So much flesh shows, they're practically exposed. Might have a breast poke, pop out their dress so their parents say let's hope to God it gets cold. Far as the rest goes, my level of stress grows. Wish I was less broke, wasn't in debt so. Soon as my checks grow, I'm able to spread dough to all my people waving like they in SOS mode. Never heard me, all these labels just said no. All the A&Rs are too busy to catch shows. Doesn't get much better, far as the press goes. I won't disappear like the Montreal Expos. I refuse to shred hope, already seen a couple thousand albums get sold. And you'll see how much my rep grows. The word is out, watch how far the effect goes. It echoes, like techno. Love to go to one last, a Tribe Called Quest show. Now it's all about who has the best clothes. Why couldn't they adjust? Stuck together like web toes. Not done, here comes the next load. You just gotta put a dollar in me and press go. So make noise if you're ready to let go, cause this is gonna be one of the best shows.